Welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Sean the Natural Vet, who's an integrative, holistic vet who can help you make good decisions for your pet's wellness. We love cats and dogs and the people who care for them. We're here every week to take your calls about your pets, and we'll answer on the air any question you send us to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Also send your mailing address for a sample of Whole Life Pets freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs. Please check out all the wonderful pet shows I co-host every week on our network. Stay tuned tonight for my NPR show, Dog Talk and Kitties Too. Cat Chat and Dog Talk is a production of Eight Paws LLC and Dr. Sean Messonnier DVM PC, which are solely responsible for its content. And we'd like to thank our sponsors, companies we've invited to be here. Our number is 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And we are thrilled to be here, Dr. Sean, the natural vet. You're such a natural kind of guy. Wasn't there a song about a natural guy or something, a natural something?
Oh, you know, there could have been. I'm trying to rack my brain now. You put me on
well,
the
spot. Well,
there
was.
Here
it was
the
sort
of
oh, never. But it was a kind of country western song, and it just occurred to me, you know, like all the natural moves kind of guy. So we're going to have some fun in a couple of weeks. Next week
Not
is
tonight.
Anne-Marie. Well, tonight we're going to have a different kind of fun.
Some fun, all right.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun, but the more fun we're going to have is when the show is actually broadcast in the Halo pop-up store in New York City in the Roger Smith Hotel. They're opening a store. They're not really selling any Halo products. They're just raising money for the foundation and doing a lot of adoptions and having some dog trainers and stuff there. And our shows are going to broadcast right into the pop-up store. So it'll be very fun that people
That's
in New York City
great.
Will be wandering by, and there'll be loudspeakers on the sidewalk, and it'll be like, yo, what's that? And it's going to be you and me. So that's kind of fun, right?
That'll be great. And we want to, as much as possible, keep telling people in New York where to go so they can be part of our show live.
Yes, absolutely. Roger Smith Hotel, 47th and Lexington, many nights at 8 p.m. East, 5 p.m. West. But if you're on the West Coast, you're still going to just have to listen on your widget or your computer. But it'd be very fun to be there. We're going to give away prizes and just all good things will be happening. If you go to our website, radiopetlady.com, the Facebook page has all this, all the details. It'd be really cool if you could go there. And the show with Anne-Marie, the Animal Communicator, which is the first Tuesday of every month, which makes it next Tuesday, it will be live at the pop-up store. So we should be getting some wild and crazy questions. We had a question from Michelle that I wanted to run by you because it was one that I couldn't possibly answer. I'm just not that familiar with dogs getting strokes. But here's what she says. I have a 14-year-old miniature schnauzer rescued from a post on a rescue website from a good home from age two. He had a cerebellar stroke confirmed on MRI last year, but has recovered in full. Unfortunately, while he's physically in good condition, his hearing is getting worse and he doesn't hear the direction of sounds. Well, I just thought it'd be interesting if you talked a little bit about dogs and getting strokes, but we have Dr. Ron Schultz who's called in. We have to spend time with him. He's the world's leading authority on vaccines and vaccinations and vaccine and parasite-borne disease. Dr. Schultz, it's so great to have you on the show. Dr. Sean and I are thrilled you could be here.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, we both love
Ron.
You. We love the work you do. Would you explain to people the really amazing lifetime of research you've done? You're the man that everyone turns to know, you know, am I getting too many vaccinations? Why do I need vaccinations? What do you find is happening in the pet-owning world about – I think people seem confused. They think they don't need any vaccinations at all, right?
Well, I think there is a lot of confusion, and one of the most important things is that with various groups that have come up with guidelines for both canine and feline vaccines, we've defined the vaccines as to whether they're core vaccines, and by definition a core vaccine would be a vaccine that every dog or cat must receive.
Right.
And then we have also identified USDA licensed vaccines that no dog should receive.
Ooh.
And all the other vaccines, that is the not recommended or the core vaccines, are considered non-core or optional vaccines. And so what's really important to understand is every dog should receive canine distemper vaccine, canine parvovirus vaccine, and canine adenovirus vaccine. And that's frequently given as a combination vaccine, which is really the way you want your dog to get it. And I often equate it to MMR of young children, which is measles, mumps, and rubella.
Right.
The MMR of the puppy is distemper, parvo, and adeno. And don't separate those. Keep them together in a combination.
Can you let me just interrupt, sir, and ask you why to keep them together? I had rescued one.
It's so much safer together, because if you separate them, which we do not recommend, there are things other than the distemper, parvo, and adeno in those vaccines, like fetal bovine serum components, and there's a whole variety of tissue culture components where the viruses are grown. And if you separate them and give them individually, that will actually hypersensitize the animal to these components that are in the vaccine, and we don't want that to happen.
That is so interesting. I've never had that explained to me before, because I was told when I got these rescued Weimaraners that I then kept rescuing from various places that they were very sensitive to vaccines and that they should never be given a bunch of them at once. But I guess they meant not to give that bunch. That bunch is core.
Yeah. You don't want to necessarily give them the distemper, parvo, adeno, along with things like Lyme vaccine and rabies vaccine, and leptospira. You don't want to do that, but the distemper, parvo, adeno, you want it together, not separated.
That's really interesting. That's really good to know.
Yeah, you don't want to start it earlier than 6 weeks, and in fact, we prefer that you wait till 8 to 10 weeks to start the vaccination program. And then you want to make sure, no matter how many doses are given prior to 14 to 16 weeks, you want to have the last puppy dose at 14 to 16 weeks or older. So really, you can start at that 8-week period and then a 3 or 4 week interval with the last dose at 14 to 16 weeks. And the reason for that is that mom passes on antibody in the colostrum, the first milk, and that antibody is very important in preventing disease during the early life of the puppy, but it also interferes with vaccination or the ability of the vaccine to immunize. And so the majority, about 98% of puppies, will at between 14 and 16 weeks have no mom's antibody or none of that antibody that can interfere with active immunization. So that's the reason for giving several doses. And I often
just so we can make this clear to people, the reason to give the multiple vaccinations isn't that the dog needs three times as much. It's because at least one of those times you want it to be received by the immune system correctly and not be blocked by the fact that it already has some antibodies from its mother's milk. It's to make sure that at some point on that spectrum you have gotten that immunity into the puppy.
That's correct. And often I'm asked the question, well, why don't you just wait till 16 weeks of age?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is many of those puppies, depending on what the antibody level is in mom, they may actually be susceptible to parvo at 8 or 9 weeks of age. So if they're susceptible to infection with the virulent parvo, then the vaccine will be able to immunize. and you want to get the puppy immunized as early as possible, and especially with parvo, because the younger the animal is, if they get infected with parvo, the more likely it's going to cause severe disease and death of that animal. There is an age-related resistance that develops to parvo, and that's not to say that if an animal's not vaccinated and it would get infected at a later age that it couldn't get diseased. It's just that fewer of those animals would get severe disease and die compared to young puppies. And anything under 6 months of age is highly susceptible. You get over a year of age, and what I'm really suggesting and what we find is that under 6 months of age, if the animal gets infected with parvo, there's about a 50% chance that it'll die.
Whereas that's really disturbing.
Oh, yes, very disturbing. And, in fact, we have a lot of litters that are young where 90-plus percent of the litter mates die from parvo. So it's a very severe virus. But if you have a susceptible animal that's a year of age, that particular animal or those animals over a year of age, more like 25% would probably not make it. You would have to be treating more than that, but you could expect your treatment to be more successful in a dog over a year of age that gets infected.
Right. I just want to give give our number to the listeners, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 if you have any vaccine or vaccination questions for Dr. Ron Schultz, who is a really great professor and has spent his life doing this research. Dr. Ron, what about the VaxaCheck test? Because they're one of our sponsors, and we think it's a really great new invention, if you will, a great new tool. And one of the ways that they say it should be used is on puppies after they've been vaccinated to make sure that they really got immunity. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's a really good idea. So let's say you stop your vaccination program at 14 to 16 weeks, which is what the guidelines recommend. Then if you want it to be certain, you would wait about 3 weeks after that last vaccination, and then you would look for antibody, and this particular test will measure antibody to each of the core vaccines. So it'll measure antibody to parvo and to distemper, which are the two most important, but also the adeno is very important as well. So this test is very useful because what it will tell you is whether or not that vaccination has been successful. And if it hasn't, then you want the puppy to be revaccinated immediately so that you make sure it's protected at as early an age as possible.
Well, that's really...
You can also use that... Go ahead.
No, that's just really helpful to people because we've never had that tool before. I had a Bedlington Terrier puppy when I was a young teenager, and he came from a very good breeder. I mean, there weren't even puppy mills when I was a teenager, to be honest. Right, Sean? I mean, there wasn't no such thing when we were teenagers. People just had backyard dogs.
Yeah, you had backyard dogs. You went to maybe a breeder or a pet store. Maybe somebody in the street corner had a puppy.
But there was no puppy mills. But anyway, the Bedlingtons were just, you know, like very private breeders, and this came from a good breeder. There was no such thing as a crummy Bedlington Terrier breeder. I mean, it's just like such a, you know, rarefied breed. And that puppy got distemper, Dr. Ron. Now, if I had had VaxaCheck, I would have received my puppy at 8 or 9 weeks old, done the puppy shots or continued with them because he supposedly had the early ones, and the timing must have been wrong. And he got distemper. Now, he lived, but he was terribly sick, and he didn't even look right afterwards. He didn't have white fur. It screwed him up. So he survived, which was apparently a miracle. But the VaxaCheck would have told me this puppy is not covered for distemper, right?
That's correct. And so you could have had him revaccinated, and within just a few days after vaccination, he would have been protected.
Wow.
So that would have been very helpful at that time. The other thing that the VaxiCheck is helpful, if you do test for distemper, parvo, and adeno after the last dose of the puppy vaccine. What we generally recommend is then, if you don't do that, revaccinating at a year. But you really wouldn't have to revaccinate at a year. You could actually do the antibody test at a year.
Right.
And then I recommend doing it every 3 years. That's how often we also recommend vaccination. So you can either do the antibody test or you can vaccinate.
And but, of so course, if you did the antibody test and it showed that the dog at that point had really great immunity to one or two of the core diseases but not to the other, then you could vaccinate only solely to that one, right?
Correct.
That would really be great. Well, we have a call from Rebecca. She's calling to ask you a question. Rebecca, welcome to Cat Chat and Dog Talk. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. This is my first time as a listener, and it's so appropriate, the topic. I have a geriatric, I don't know how you would, if you would say it, dog who's going to be 12.
Okay.
And
that's a geriatric.
Time for him to have his, it's time for him to have his vaccinations, and I also am going to have his teeth cleaned in about a month. So I don't know, like, should I get one set of vaccinations done, wait a few weeks? You know, given his age, I don't think I should give him the rabies and then the 3-in-1 at the same time, should I?
No, and in fact, you could, this is where the antibody test could be done for distemper, parvo, adeno, this vaccine check, or sometimes your veterinarian will send the samples out to a lab. The nice thing about this vaccine check is it can actually be done in office, and it only takes about 25 minutes to run the test, but not all of the veterinarians run it. So you could do antibody in your geriatric dog rather than having the animal revaccinated, because if the dog at 12 has been vaccinated multiple times, one of the things that you should know about distemper, parvo, and adeno is those vaccines will provide, in a majority of dogs, lifelong immunity.
Yes.
So just like children, when they get measles, mumps, rubella, they may get vaccinated again when they go to high school or when they go off to college. But then, of course, we never get revaccinated again because measles, mumps, rubella gives a lifelong immunity. So distemper, parvo, and adeno are the same. They give lifelong immunity.
So, Rebecca, this was a perfect night for you to call in because your vet may not know about VaxiCheck. It's spelled VaxiCheck, like VaxiCheck. And it's new to the market. It's just been available to veterinarians. How long, Dr. Sean? Just a handful of months, right?
Yeah, we've been using it basically just for a few months. But I wanted to mention something to Rebecca, too. Even if the only vaccine your dog needs is rabies, make sure before you get the vaccine that your pet is healthy. And the reason I'm mentioning this, before I got on the phone tonight, I'm off on Tuesday afternoons, so I got a call from my office manager about a pet that I see, a little dog that I see. But they drive a distance, so they have a local vet who's a little bit closer for them, that they'll do some things, but they'll come to my office for more natural care when the pet has a serious problem. So this particular little dog has a tumor on its foot, and the owner was going to just go to her local vet to have it removed. She didn't want to have to make the drive to me. But she was concerned because her doctor will not remove the tumor unless the pet has a rabies shot, since it's overdue for rabies. And what I told her, what I'm going to tell you, Rebecca, is – because this tumor potentially could be cancer, we don't know.
Yes.
It is stupid and, in my opinion, malpractice to vaccinate pets with the possibility of cancer, much less if they have cancer, since we know vaccines can make cancer grow more. So what I told my office manager was to tell the owner, absolutely no vaccines at all. I don't care if they're breaking the law or not. If she doesn't mind the drive, come to my office. I'll look at the tumor. If it's something I can remove, we'll remove it, biopsy it. If it's not cancer, then yes, certainly it can get caught up with its rabies shot, then we'll do the vaccine check titer testing. So even if your vet will do the titer testing and we know that the pet doesn't need any of the distemper parvo hepatitis, don't do other vaccines until your doctor makes sure There are no lumps or bumps. There's no tumors. There's no cancer. Do a blood profile, a urinalysis. Make sure we don't have other diseases that might not be apparent yet, but which could be worse with any sort of vaccination.
That's really good advice. We need to go to a break, Rebecca, and I don't know if Dr. Ron can stay with us. I hope so. But in terms of the dental cleaning, that's really important with older pets and not something people should be fearful of but should embrace. But I think any vet who's that uptight about an overdue rabies shot in an animal that's had, by at that point, at least three or four in his life, dog is not rabid and he's not going to fight the vet or the vet techs. That vet needs to just chill out, or you need to find somebody else. I mean, the tumor is the issue. The rabies vaccination, you know, is like the thing you put aside until you rule out cancer. So
that's really very important. And really, the veterinarian should not insist on having that rabies vaccine. And if he's worried about that from a legal standpoint, then he should just have the owner sign off indicating that he has informed them that the dog is due for its rabies. But no veterinarian is obligated, nor are they law enforcement people. They don't have to give the vaccine.
That's right. That's really good advice. Dr. Ron, can you stay with us a minute while we go to a break?
I can.
That'd be terrific. Rebecca, we're so pleased you called in. If you write to me at radiopetlady@gmail.com, I'll send you some fabulous protein treats for your lovely boy, okay? Radiopetlady@gmail.com.
And when you come back, if you can tell where the vets are located, that would be great. They may be in my area.
Okay, so. You hang on, and we'll be right back after this break. This show is brought to you by Waruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility. So it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Waruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods, which Waruva chooses not to make because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feelaway diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who've just left their litters. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. We are back. Dr. Ron Schultz, marvelous expert on vaccines and vaccinations. It is a pleasure and a privilege to have you here, sir. Rebecca, Dr. Ron doesn't really see patients so much. He's like a very highfalutin man in the ivory tower, research. He goes all over the world giving, talks to other vets. And our own Dr. Sean, the natural vet, is in Plano, Texas. Is that anywhere near you?
No, I'm in California, the Bay Area, so...
All right, so if you send me your where you are to radiopetlady@gmail.com, Dr. Sean and I will find you a good holistically oriented kind of vet to find, okay? Southern California is full of such veterinarians. We just need to find you one kind of in your area.
Okay, radiopetlady@gmail.com.
Yes, ma'am, and send me your mailing address as well. We love your question. It's a great question. Probably saved some other older pooches from getting unnecessary vaccinations. Thanks, Rebecca. If anybody else has a vaccination question of any kind, this is the night to ask the expert, 888-627-6008. I had an email that came in, Dr. Ron, that I hadn't that I've been saving. I didn't read it to Dr. Sean yet because it's sort of right on this topic, and I think it'll be very helpful for you to explain to people the difference between the Lyme test and Vaxacheck test, because as you said earlier, one is a core vaccination and the other is has more to do with the lifestyle of the pet and is more optional. So here's a question from Stephanie in Rock Hill, South Carolina. A while back, you did a show on vaccines. Well, we did. Dr. Sean and I talked about them a lot. And some new test available to see if dogs had immunity. Yep, she's right. That's VaxiCheck. Have you heard of the SNAP4DX Plus test? We got an email from the vet. We also have taken her to the alternative vet in Charlotte, North Carolina, not too far away. We live in South Carolina, not very progressive here. Take care, Stephanie. So I think what she's confusing, oh, VaxiCheck really works very similarly, right? If you could explain the difference to people who live in an area where there are ticks, which is most of the country now, and therefore at risk for Lyme disease and should be tested every year before giving a vaccination or tested to see if they need to be treated. That SNAP test in the office, the IDEX test, is that theoretically the same idea as a VaxiCheck?
It's to detect the organism or infection, whereas the VaxiCheck is really looking at antibody that correlates
right.
with protection. What the Lyme test, as part of the 4DX, it actually does detect antibody, but antibody doesn't correlate with protection against Lyme or leptospirosis.
Right.
It's actually an indicator of active infection, and that particular test for Lyme is called a C6 antibody. And if the animal has an antibody to that C6 antigen, then that means that the animal is very likely infected. There's a very small percentage of animals that give a false positive, but that's something you would want to look into. If you had a 4DX done on your dog and the Lyme was positive, you would want to consider that animal infected, not protected.
And now, what do we do about the fact that doxycycline, of course, if doxycycline was always the traditional treatment, I've had it on a couple
now
of dogs
more than
once. Now
it's very expensive.
Exactly. It's unavailable. So what do we do?
Well, you'll have to use an alternative antibiotic, none of which I would say is as good as doxycycline. The doxycycline really was a lifesaver with regard to Lyme and another organism called Anaplasma, and that's also detected by the 4DX test as well. And so we're really in a difficult position not having that doxycycline right now.
I'm wondering, yeah, I can see that. What have you been doing about this, Sean, and how do you deal with these titers and the Lyme titers, and how are you handling this in real life in a clinic?
Well, you know, we don't see a lot of these tick-borne diseases here in Texas. I've never still seen Lyme's disease in my practice
yet. Are you lucky?
I know. Ooh. You've got it up there. Dr. Marty's got it. But we get Ehrlichia and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Now,
okay.
I
yes.
see a lot of people who come to me for second opinions or switching to me because of a holistic approach. And I know a lot of conventional doctors like these SNAP4DX tests, which test for four different diseases, heartworms, Lyme's, Ehrlichia, and Anaplasma. And I try to discourage people as a rule from doing those tests unless we're suspecting the disease with the exception of heartworm. Because I think sometimes you'll get a positive test, even if the pet's negative, which happens with every test, and then you might spend a lot of money unnecessarily or treat a disease that isn't present. So that's one of my concerns.
Okay.
In our practice, we've been using VaxiCheck for a while. And what's an interesting phenomenon, and one of the things I try to tell vets when they say these titer tests don't work or they don't understand how to use them, is that from time to time I'll see a dog or a cat that has been vaccinated in prior years. We've been titering them for a while with these tests, and the titers will get higher some years. Well, the only way the titers can get higher is if we vaccinate the pet, which I know we're not doing, or if the dog's going for a walk and maybe is exposed to parvovirus or distemper through the walk, through some contaminated fecal material, contacting another dog, etc. So that's another way that we know these titers show that the pet's immune system is working properly without an additional unnecessary vaccination, because the titers are showing the vaccines have worked well, the pets have good antibodies protecting the pet, and then when they come in contact with the infectious organism, the immune system does what it's supposed to, which is respond with a greater titer, just like it would if it was vaccinated again, and that's ideal. So these titers are showing that, yes, we have good immunity from vaccines, but also we have good protective immunity when the pet is exposed to the disease in the wild, so to speak, showing that we don't just need to keep giving them vaccines.
Except for, as Dr. Ron just said, in the case of Lyme disease, which you don't have, if there's a high titer, it means there's active infection. It's not the good
kind. No, that's right, because that's why we're not titering that now, keep in mind, as far as protective things. That's more for diagnosing disease. Just like a high titer for Ehrlichia would indicate a potentially active infection there that we have to deal with.
So it becomes a real problem when you don't have the medication that used to be cheap and available, and people's hands are kind of tied at this point.
Yeah, I'm still lucky. I still have some cheap some
hang
medicine,
on to it, baby. There's going to be a black market for that doctor.
I should sell it on the black market to all the vets that need it.
It'll be worth a fortune, Dr. Sean.
Yeah,
people thought they should be stashing gold bullion, but in fact it was doxycycline. Remember when there was all that
– problems with getting drugs these days, both in the human
veterinary
market. So a lot of these drugs have gone way up in price thanks to the FDA with all the things they're doing. So
it's always, once again,
in our practice, we don't use a lot of drugs. We use a lot of supplements. So that helps a lot of our clients as far as the cost.
Well, Dr. Ron, we want to thank you so much for sharing time with us. It's really been interesting, very helpful to everybody. We really appreciate all the work you've been doing for so many years on vaccines and getting us all as safe as possible in a world full of danger to the immune system. Thank you so much and have a wonderful night.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity.
It was a great pleasure.
Have a good night.
We will do. Thanks again, Dr. Ron. That's Dr. Ron Schultz, quite a marvelous man from the University of Wisconsin. We'll be right back after this break. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Cat-A-Track litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are glad to be back. And in the very beginning of the show, before Dr. Ron so nicely joined us, Dr. Sean, I had read to you this email from Michelle about her 14-year-old miniature schnauzer who had a cerebellar stroke confirmed on MRI but then has recovered in full. Is that a pretty unusual situation?
You know, a lot of times I will see these pets that people say have had strokes. And I always tell people, as a rule, strokes are pretty rare in dogs now, and cats too. It could be that they're more common than we think. But as in people, you know, you'd have to do an MRI or a CT scan, and most people won't spend the money to do
that.
Right. The reason that I don't like the diagnosis of stroke in a pet without something like an MRI or a CT scan is I used to work for a vet when I first got out of school who was just a quack. You know, and I didn't know it at the time.
Oh, Dr. Quack. We've spoken about him.
And literally every older dog or cat who came in who had any neurological problem, he diagnosed with a stroke and gave them all penicillin and steroids, which doesn't do anything for a stroke anyway. But that was his treatment for every pet. I know you laugh, but think of how many, pets had – well, no, it is funny, but pets died because of his quackery, his misdiagnosis.
Yes.
So when I hear people say, oh, my dog had a stroke, I just kind of cringe and say, okay, you know, I go through this whole spiel. Now, dogs and cats can get strokes. They're hard to prove. Often they get other neurological problems. However, if this particular caller or writer mentioned that she did have testing done and they did prove a stroke in a certain part of the brain, then yes, I would certainly believe that. I think that that's absolutely true.
But does a dog just on their own recover completely, or can they? I mean, just
normally, you know, what I try to do is to do some supplements for them to support their nervous system. Sometimes if they need, I say steroid, it depends on the cause of the stroke, but usually they will recover on their own if they're going to recover with some supportive care. And, you know, that's what we basically need to do. I think sometimes they're overtreated with drugs. But supportive care, it certainly never hurts to support the immune system, the nervous system, et cetera. But tell me again, did this lady say her dog's still having any ongoing problems, or has that –
No, I thought so when I first read the email, but then it turned out the ongoing problem was deafness, loss of hearing.
Oh.
But I don't think she was attributing
that
to the stroke.
Well, that would be weird from the stroke.
Yeah, she didn't attribute it to the stroke. She said – yeah, she said he's recovered fully, and oh, by the way, he has these hearing problems and, you know, trying to figure out sign language and stuff. I just remember you having spoken about strokes as being so rare. But then again, it's rare for the owner that's willing to go for the MRI. Of course, if you have pet insurance, pet insurance would probably pay
that's
for the MRI.
Thing to do. Yeah.
So, you know, then you know, did your dog have a stroke? Why is it important to confirm that, Sean?
Because I think too often if we don't know what happened, like I said, you don't get the right treatment because we don't know which disease it is. And we want to be able to give owners honest answers. You know, if the dog has a brain tumor, that's different from a stroke.
Right, good point.
If they have vestibular disease, which is really common in older dogs, that's going to be a different situation that shouldn't affect them long term at all.
Right, and the use of penicillin by Dr. Quack is pretty shocking.
Everything was treated that way, so.
Wow, isn't that
but
amazing?
But you're a cat person. I should tell you an interesting cat story.
Love that. Yes, so indeed. And you all should feel completely free and welcome to call, of course, with any kind of a question about anything at all to do with your dogs and cats. We're easy that way. 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. You will not be interrupting us. Our wonderful engineer, Doug, can just put you on hold while we're chatting, and we'll know you're there. A cat story. Yes, please.
So I worked for a different quack in a different part of town. I find a lot
this
of
This is young when you were a young fellow.
This is, yeah, when I was in between jobs looking for work, so to speak.
Okay.
So I found this quack. And he was even worse than the original Dr. Quack with the strokes all the time. He would treat every sick cat. Well, first of all, he didn't really do any diagnostic testing per se. So anytime a cat came in sick, his diagnosis, I kid you not, was hairballs and toxic shock. Now, as far as I know, there is no disease called hairballs and toxic shock.
I've never come across that in the literature. Nope.
No, and I wanted to see if you had found something that I was just not aware
of. No, I'm pretty sure, and I've looked carefully.
They do get hairballs. They can get toxic shock. But what's sad, once again, with him is, you know, if the cat came in and he really had kidney failure, too bad, had hairballs and toxic shock. If it had fatty liver disease, he didn't do any testing, so it all had hairballs and toxic shock. And his treatment was to literally force tubes of cat laxative down these cats' throats, a bunch of kidney toxic antibiotics. Oh. And, you know, interestingly, some of these cats did get better because I think they wanted to get better to get away from him. And thankfully, they didn't have anything seriously wrong with it. But think about how many quacks there are out there that come up with these weird, weird things. And pet owners don't know. You know, they're trusting doctors. They're trusting vets. So I just hope that through our show, through the books you and I have written, that maybe we can educate pet owners to to really think about second opinions, and if something seems weird, you know, even me, you know, don't just take what I'm telling you as fact. Do some research if you're questioning. If it doesn't seem right, find another opinion. I never have a problem with that at all.
No, in fact, we embrace it. And if you get other opinions or contradictory opinions to anything that you hear us talk about on the show or that you've read in Dr. Sean's books or mine, we want you to tell us. Because first of all, research does change. And there are diagnoses or attitudes or points of view that change, whether it's, you know, in the health field, even in the health field, certainly in training of dogs and cats, you know, attitudes change, just like raising of children has changed the books that one can read over the last 10 or 20 years.
And, you know, a lot of our books haven't been currently updated because our publishers aren't doing that. So my Natural Health Bible, people say, oh, I read this in your Natural Health Bible. It's like, okay, well, things have changed since that particular book was written. It still is a very good book, and it still is scientifically correct, but some of the treatments I use have changed or been updated. But unless the publisher is willing to update something, you know, I know the medical facts haven't really changed, but the therapies may have changed. So it's good background information for our readers to get all of our books, but they may have questions for us they need to contact us about.
Right, or something may seem that it contradicts what we say on the air. For example, Vaxacheck. I mean, that didn't even exist 6 months ago. And I mean, how awesome is that? That you know, both of us have written about and talked about over time that we feel that animals are vaccinated just routinely, like cookie cutter. Give them a shot. Give them a shot. Oh, well, you know, you rescue a dog and that dog could have run away or been abandoned by somebody.
There's something else we should mention about Vaxacheck too. And I'm going to probably speak for Marty, who is actually one of the owners of the company Spectrum Labs that makes this. But if people can't find a veterinarian that does Vaxacheck, of course, they can contact us. But if we get overwhelmed with calls or emails, it might even be worthwhile contacting the manufacturer of Vaxacheck and just saying, hey, is there a vet in my area? Because you buy the product directly from the company. Or maybe I'll talk to Marty to see if there's some way we can encourage, if we find out who the person's veterinarian is, to give them information to encourage them to start using Vaxacheck in their practices.
I would absolutely love to do that. That's exactly what I did with Vectra. When Dr. Elizabeth started, you know, and Vectra is one of the sponsors of our show. And great Vectra product. 3D for dogs and Vectra for fleas on cats or in areas like Blessed Texas where there aren't ticks. And most vets said, well, I only know about Avantix. So I only know about it frontline. And people would say, but it stopped working. I mean, it's supposed to be for a month.
That's
and
right.
After 2 weeks, I've got fleas or 2 weeks, I've
it's
got ticks.
It's not working as well. You're
because the technology has changed. And some of these vets would say, well, too bad. This is what I'm doing. And we would get the name of I would get the name of the vet and Dr. Elizabeth's company, Siva, this wonderful French pharmaceutical company. They would get in touch with the vet and send someone over and say, here's like an entirely free setup for you. Try it. Your people will be happy because their animals won't have parasites. And the same thing with Vaxacheck. I mean, it was new to my vet too. I went in and talked to her about it. I've just stopped.
She was okay with that.
Yeah. She said, you know, I've been hoping to find a product like this for years. And she's not particularly holistic at all. She's just kind of, you know, straight middle of the road kind of gal.
She's open to it.
But open to it and loved the idea that there was a way to check. I mean, she's all over the SNAP test. And then if the SNAP test comes back positive, what you were saying earlier, then she does a more a better test, right? A more serious test.
No, if it comes back positive.
No, not the Vaxacheck, the SNAP IDEX.
Yeah, that's right. Because once again, that's kind of a screening test and we want to know a little bit more.
Yeah. So I think it'd be great if they can get in touch with the company and there's a way to do that. We're going to go to one last little quick break, and I think you might have an email with a fabulous question that we can set everyone's mind at rest about. We're going to pop off to a last break. This is your last chance to call us, 888-627-6008. We're here for you. Give us a call. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. And you can get $5 off if you're a first-time Honest Kitchen customer by putting DogTalk5 in the code box when you check out. So, Dr. Sean, do you have a handy-dandy little email question for us?
I do. And this is one I actually just wrote a blog about. So if you go to my website, petcarenatchery.com, you can read all of my blogs for as long as I've been blogging. So if I get these interesting questions that I think everybody would enjoy, I'll mention them on the show from time to time, and I try to blog about them too.
Great.
So this is a question I got not too long ago, and I see this in practice almost every day here in Texas. So it starts off, "Dear Dr. Sean, my little dog Butch has a bad skin problem, really common everywhere, especially in the south part of the United States. Okay, his current veterinarian says he has a skin infection, and he's been giving him antibiotics, different ones, for the last 5 months, but nothing seems to help. His skin will improve while he's taking the antibiotic, but within a few weeks of stopping it, the skin worsens and his infection recurs. Can you offer any advice? We're desperate as he's not getting better and seems uncomfortable and is itching all the time." So let's talk about how we approach skin infections. I'll probably kind of do this rather than just read my whole response. You can read the whole letter, as I said, on my blog. Okay, so when I see pets that have been on antibiotics for a long time, my first question is, do we have the right disease? Do we have the right diagnosis? And sometimes that requires additional testing in the office, including skin biopsies, to find out what's going on. Usually, though, I can pretty much look at a pet's skin if it's actively infected at the time and tell that, yes, it probably is an infection, and we can attempt treatment. If the treatment isn't helping, then at some point we're going to do that skin biopsy or some other testing. So number one, do we have the right diagnosis? Number two, why does the infection keep coming back? Did the correct antibiotics be used? In other words, were the correct antibiotics given? There are a lot of antibiotics that don't work on skin infections, and if you give those to the pet with a skin infection, they're not going to get better. So we'll assume for the sake of argument, because she didn't list all the different antibiotics the dog's taking, that at least some of them were correct. Next question is, was it the right dose? If you go to a human pharmacy, sometimes the pharmacist will change the dose without telling the veterinarian because the dose seems too high for a dog. Well, dogs and cats require different doses than people. Number three, and this is a real big one, especially with bigger dogs, where the few antibiotics we have for skin infections are all expensive. There's nothing cheap for a skin infection. In order to cut costs for the owner, many times veterinarians will not treat the skin infection long enough. They'll treat for 2 weeks, 10 days, maybe 3 weeks, but the minimum for a skin infection, if you're going to use antibiotics, is 3 weeks and usually 4 to 6 weeks.
Really?
So if you get rid of the infection after 2 or 3 weeks and stop the antibiotics, it's going to come back because we didn't really kill everything.
In fact, the superbugs, the stronger ones,
have
survived the first – yeah, they've survived the first weeks,
and they're stronger now.
Right.
So if all of those things have fallen into place and we're okay with that, then I look for things like thyroid disease, adrenal gland disease, diabetes, or just some general kind of immune issue. Sometimes these dogs will have some problems. If you don't address the underlying problems, even allergies, for example, the pet won't get better. So some of these cases are going to be expensive. Once again, we both recommend pet health insurance for these kind of issues, because we have to not only treat the infection, but treat why does the dog or cat get an infection, which can be a more challenging diagnostic dilemma to unravel and a more expensive dilemma to treat. Now, naturally, there are a lot of things I can do for skin infections. Bathing, of course, I use my own shampoos. The Dr. Sean Ditch Relief Shampoo works well. Daily for 1 to 2 weeks, then as needed. I'll use the Olive Leaf Plus. I'll use the Herbal Chi to stimulate the immune system. We have a couple of other products in our practice that aren't available on my website because they're more prescription-type herbs and supplements. But we use a lot of natural products where I hardly ever have to use antibiotics. But if I use antibiotics, we're using natural therapies as well, including probiotics, because we know the antibiotics are going to wipe out the good, healthy bacteria. And in this particular little dog, Butch, he probably has a lot of bad bacteria overgrowing in his intestine from 5 months' worth of antibiotic therapy. So once
again, all the good stuff has been killed off.
It's gone, and this dog is prone to other problems: diarrhea, leaky gut syndrome, toxic gut syndrome, etc. We may also want to detox him. We want to support his liver because of all the antibiotics. So when owners start to look at the holistic approach, even though one of my goals is to cut costs for the owner, that's a long-term goal. A short-term goal for this dog is not going to be to do it cheaply, because it's already been done cheaply and hasn't worked. So if we're supporting his liver, detoxing him, supporting his immune system, supporting his damaged GI tract, plus treating his infection, plus trying to find out what's going on, this is a $1,000-plus case just to get started. But if we don't do that, they're going to spend $1,000 in the next 3 or 4 months just on antibiotics, and we still aren't going to get to the root of the problem. So I know I'll see these pets. Many times the owners will say, gosh, I already spent so much money. I know you did. It wasn't spent wisely. That's not your fault. But unless you just want to keep spending money and wasting money on antibiotics, knowing your dog's not going to live forever, if you do that, we've got to spend more money, but spend it wisely to help your pet to where you're not coming back to my office every month for more antibiotics. So that's what I told this lady in my response to her. And I think this is just so representative of the kind of cases that holistic doctors see that have been treated initially correctly as far as the antibiotics with conventional medicine, but then we keep going back to that same therapy that isn't working. And we have to, at that point, go for a second opinion, hopefully a holistic one, to find out what else can be done.
One of the questions that I have about long-term antibiotic use is when, if in fact a decent quality plain yogurt has plenty of probiotics in it, in theory, right? It has a lot of live organisms.
Well, if it's labeled as having live cultures in it, yes. Now, I don't have any problem with people giving yogurt. I still prefer extra additional, because I take probiotics myself, even though I'll eat yogurt from time to time. You're not going to, as a rule, overdose probiotics. You're going to get more concentrated probiotics in a supplement. I've got one that's got enzymes in it as well. But if you want to give yogurt as well, as long as it's got live cultures, ideally organic yogurt, so we don't have the BHT and all these kind of chemicals that are in the cow's milk, I think that's wonderful. If your dog or cat likes some organic yogurt, give them to it. Even when they're healthy, it's great.
Yeah, all my dogs get some yogurt every night. But as we wrap up, are you supposed to give the yogurt at a different time than the antibiotics? I'm sure I heard that at some
point. Very good question. Yes, normally I will tell people to use the probiotics and or yogurt an hour or two before or after the antibiotics. So you give it the same time, and we don't have – I've never seen a study, and there may be one, I'd love to find one, that shows how many of the probiotics survive administration if given at the same time as an antibiotic. But common sense tells both of us that if you're giving an antibiotic which kills bacteria, at the same time we're giving healthy bacteria, there's going to be some death of those healthy bacteria, which is not what we want.
We're wasting, basically, wasting a good resource. I just like to say that the Honest Kitchen, I think you might have gotten some packets of it just as we wrap up, ProBloom, made of goat's milk and billions of live cultures.
Wonderful product.
Wonderful product, really natural, got a lot more in it than any yogurt could ever have, and you just put it with warm water. In fact, I'm going to go give some to Scooby-Doo right after the show because he had his antibiotics a couple hours ago. He's got this infection on his knee that is just plaguing him. Well, this is all great. So many different and interesting topics tonight. You have a busman's holiday next Tuesday night. Anne Marie will be here. That'll be fun. Fun for everyone to have their animal communicated with. And maybe you'll call in and communicate something from one of your animals if, in fact, you're around and near a phone. But in any case, thank you for another great show, Dr. Sean.
It was fun. And also, hope everybody had a good Veterans Day. Let's keep our men and women of the military in our prayers because they work so hard just to keep us safe and free.
You are so right. Yes, we had a show last night on Memorial Day, and we talked about Washington and the World War II veterans there at the memorial in Washington and how moving it was. Thank you so much, Dr. Sean. Love spending time with you. Love
Me
learning
too.
All this stuff. It's terrific.
And thanks to Dr. Schultz for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. Very much so. Terrific. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful night, everybody.
Thanks.
Hug your pooches and kiss your kitties. We will talk to you again very soon. Bye for now.